Morning, guys. Let's turn to Colossians. And we're going to read chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 12. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 12. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are of Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf, and he also informed us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. Excuse me, I have a bit of an allergy today. Just bear with me. Most scholars would believe that Paul actually never visited Colossae, but that it was a letter. First, he had received a letter about their condition, and a lot of good things, but also he had received some concerns about, you know, what their beliefs were. And so when he was sending a messenger Philemon about his slave Onesimus, who had become converted, he also took this time to write out this letter and to have it sent to Colossae as well. And the church here was struggling with a number of issues. One of them was the idea of flesh. And they struggled with the idea that Christ was fully flesh, because they had such a evil view of flesh. And so they struggled with that idea. And so Paul addresses that in later chapters. But they really took to heart, the Gnostics, the idea of knowledge, the mysteries of God. And so that in that sense, they separated themselves from the flesh. And so that kind of, what that happened was you kind of went to two extremes. One would be, those who had no value in the flesh and would focus just on the knowledge of God, and so you'd have people who would, fast or beat the flesh or whatnot, really abstaining from any fleshly, desires. And then those on the other hand who would go the opposite extreme and just totally indulge, and since the flesh meant nothing and whatnot, they would just do whatever and had no effect. And so they had difficulty understanding how Christ could be fully God and fully man with this perception and understanding that the flesh was evil. And so then Paul will address that as well later, in the chapters, that Christ was indeed, the fullness of God in man. In any case, the point I want to focus on this morning, Paul addresses, and, with that kind of in mind, that context in mind, it makes sense, his opening statement. And I'm going to focus on the verses 9, 10, and 11. But basically, he starts off, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will." Right? So immediately he's, hitting on the point of knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he's appealing to what they're wanting to hear and what they're wanting to grow in and understand. And then he makes the application so that, right, so it doesn't just end there. "You may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing the knowledge of God." My first point this morning, just a simple, when you meet someone for the first time, you know very little about them. They say first impressions, are a big deal. And personally speaking, I don't think I make the greatest first impression. But you meet people, and I met Pastor Dominic on a Wednesday. I picked him up from the airport, and I've heard great, amazing things about him. He's pastoring a church of 6,500, a huge mega church, and they're building and growing, their facilities. And to be quite honest, I know very little or nothing about him. But over our dinner that evening, we had dinner. Stanley Ho had hosted him because Stanley was his youth student way back when, and at the same time, Pastor Dominic had his two associate pastors. One was a children's pastor, one was a pastor of a particular ministry, and they also served sort of as aides, on their travels. And so, just a personal observation, it wasn't like they were trying to go at it, but you could kind of see back and forth, well, who knew more about Pastor Dominic? Well, I knew him when he was in high school, and I know this about him. And to the aides and the associate pastors, sometimes, not amazement, but to their surprise, Stanley actually knew stuff about Pastor Dominic that they didn't know he knew. And so my point is, obviously, through friendship and through intimacy, there's a bit of experiencing one another. I'll give you another example. I was a youth pastor of my church, and one of the students, their family had gone to Japan to be missionaries. And so, the father owned a sandwich shop back in the U.S. And so, we spent quite a bit of time, we're a community, we fellowship, a lot of activities. And I was passing through one time with a group, from our team in California. And on the last day, after about 5-6 days, I left, or we all left. It was a day where we were all saying, parting ways and saying goodbye. And, I went to each of the, there are two or three students, and I went to one of them. Said, hey, see you later. And she gave me a high five, and, so happy, and, okay, I'll see you next time, right? I felt pretty good, right? And then my friend went up next, and then it's like the moment they got eye contact, she started to, weep and, get all emotional, and in my flesh, right? I was like, what the heck, man? This person's, happy that I'm leaving, right? Giving me high fives and stuff, and when this guy says goodbye, she gets all emotional, and I thought, wait a second, I'm the youth pastor, man. I'm the one who, sweat, blood, and tears and served you for, two or three. I was like, huh? And I thought, oh, man. And so jokingly, I said, hey, man, how come you don't cry for me, but you cry for this guy? And I started thinking, oh, maybe because he's part of a Christian rock band, whatnot. But the more I thought about it, and the more I realized is that my friend had invested so much more time outside of church or church functions. That my friend had, as I began discussing and kind of realizing their history, would take them, after school to go to Disneyland, would call them up late at night, when they have issues or problems, they would come. And so I had no idea of this dynamic, of this relationship that was going on. And then for me to expect that sort of, kind of reciprocation or whatnot in terms of intimacy, it wasn't there. And third, I'll get to my point, some of us sisters and guys, right? But I think in terms of this term, I hear it more from girls, but you meet a guy for the first time, and it's like, wow, he's so mysterious, right? And I don't know if that's attractive or not, but, right? But I mean, seriously, the guys never say wow, she's so mysterious. It's either, one thing or another, but I think in terms of again, just my observation, I could be wrong. But, you've heard it said, wow, that guy is so mysterious, and there's a bit of attraction about that mysteriousness, right? But obviously, you know nothing about that person, right? You can just have an idea, idea of who or what you think this person is about, but part of the mystery is the fact that you don't know him. And here's my point, and it's kind of, long-winded, but the point is God should become less and less mysterious to you, right? I mean, when you first come to church and when you're first presented with the gospel and when you're first, presented with even prophetic teachings and whatnot, and it seems all, awe-inspiring and powerful and mysterious. But as you grow and as you come to church and as you have relationship with God, God should become less and less mysterious to you. Right, he should become more and more intimate to you. There should be more experiences that you've come through. there should be opportunities and situations where you may not have known how God would operate, but you step out in faith and God performs and he delivers. And then you have that experience with you and it's part of your life. God should become less and less mysterious with you, to you. And this weekend, you know, when Pastor Dom comes and he teaches on the prophetic and he does this prophetic activation, right? I mean, you know, our knowledge of God and our relationship with him should constantly be growing, right? If you're stagnant or in the same place, you run the risk of actually backsliding. Right, so we should constantly be seeking, constantly be getting in his scriptures. I mean, I've read this chapter, this passage, these books, you know, 100 times, and I need to read it 1,000 times more because God brings revelation and truth and intimacy as I'm seeking him, as I'm putting aside 20 or 30 minutes to get into him, to get into his word. I'm growing in him, and he's speaking to me through different passages in different situations in different times. So God should become less and less mysterious to us. In verse 9 and 10, right? You know, these words again, filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom, right? Not some spiritual wisdom, not just in certain things that apply to me or certain needs that I have today, but in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, right? This is a tall order. It's not just in some respects. It's not just in some things that you're ready to give or feel like, okay, this is something I need to forfeit or submit. But in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, right? So in your workplace, in your relationships, in your studies, in the things you aspire to, in all respects, bearing fruit. That means anything you put your hands to, right, as a man and woman of God should bear fruit for the kingdom. If it doesn't, then you cut it off, right? That's where the pruning begins. Amen? Right? So in all respects. And so I read this passage, you know, and to be quite honest, you know, take a snap picture of the areas of your weaknesses, right? You know, for each of us, that may be something different. For me, you know, in this season particularly, it would be in the area of parenting, right? I look at my parenting style or my parenting ability or lack of. And I can't tell you how humbling it is and how much, I mean, every day I'm at the altar saying, God, give me strength. God, give me wisdom. This is an area definitely where I feel like I haven't really, borne fruit in all respects. I haven't come to full knowledge or understanding. And so it can be discouraging because it's a tall order. But at the same time, in verse 11, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. See? The power and the ability to perform is not in our flesh or in our strength, as Paul will, you know, unpack even more in these passages, but in fact that it is in his might, in Christ's might. And so it's not a weakness or an inability that we try to perform in the flesh, but what Paul will say later on is that we put on Christ, right? There's a big difference when you are presented or confronted with your weaknesses and saying, okay, this is where I lack, and this is where I need to get it together, self-help, or my will, or strategically, and my mind. But that can only go so far. And when I think of something like parenting, or whatever it is for you in your particular case, man, we need to put on Christ. And basically what that means is we need to seek after Christ, seek after his word, seek after his relationship intimacy. And those things come into us, and as an overflow of our relationship with Christ, they speak into and give us ability to perform in the very things that we are not able to. Amen? So keep that verse in mind. I'm going to close with this verse. We the last kind of book that I studied was in Philippians, and this is a great encouragement. You know, in verse Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the onward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right, and he'll continue to say, actually, in verse 15, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And this is just kind of speaks into, you know, when we fail and when we fall short, and on those days we kind of condemn ourselves. Hey, man, we forget about it. We leave it behind. We run forward. It's a progressive thing, right? And all this comes together as we put on Christ daily in seeking him, as we come here to this place, as we're at home seeking his scriptures, as we're listening to worship songs, as we're in the workplace. Okay, so let's bow our heads this morning. And just meditate on this thought. You know, one, right, that God should become less and less mysterious to you. And that's a good thing. It means you know him. You know, I love Pastor Sam's, one of his t-shirts, right? It has a, you know, a picture of a hand, you know, crossed like this, crossed fingers, right? And basically it says, God and I are like this, like we're tight, right? God should become less and less mysterious to you, right? The more you spend time with him, and I tell you, I've received more revelation in terms of understanding the heart of God in my quiet personal devotions than I have from messages or from sermons. You know, I'll get blown away, right? Someone will unpack a passage or something and whatnot in a manner where I'll be like, wow, man, but the stuff that really hits a chord, I mean, think about it, right? You can come to his presence 7 times a week, minimum on your own, 14 times a week in terms of his scriptures. You know, unlimited opportunity when we make ourselves available for God to reveal himself and bring truth, as opposed to, you know, once a week or twice a week, or some of us that come here at EMP, right? So God should become less and less mysterious to us. And that's by design, right? Think about that for a second, right? Original design. Man, we weren't meant to wonder about God. Right? We weren't meant to wonder where he was or what he was like or what he looked like or what he says. Right? We had perfect relationship, perfect communication, perfect fellowship in the garden. That was the original intent. And then by our sin, right, comes this great separation and gap. And God is so mysterious. You know, who is this God? Right? It's Jesus Christ in the flesh. And so this morning, just meditate as Pastor Nate leads us in the song. You know, to put on Christ. You know, job number one, to seek his face, to love him with all our heart. If we focus on that, it will speak into all the other areas of our lives. It will empower us, strengthen us, equip us. Let's just spend some time in worship as Pastor Nate leads us.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. And I'm lost without you, Lord. And I'm desperate for you. And I'm desperate for you, my God. And I'm lost without you. And I'm desperate for you, Lord. And I'm lost without you.
For our first prayer point this morning, let's pray for tonight and this conference that we have this weekend, for our prophetic conference, and pray for Pastor Dominic and Pastor Janice and Pastor May, the three of them, the team that will be coming tonight. Let's just pray for an outflow of God's power, God's grace, God's love. Let's pray for protection. Let's just pray for angels to come, the Spirit of God to come dwell in this place, prepare this place, a place of worship, that God would dwell heavy in this place, and that people would come, you know, our friends, you know, regular members, people who never even heard the gospel would come and fill this house and unlock in their hearts the greatest mystery of all, that God loves them and would seek out through all depths to save them. So let's just pray for Pastor Dominic, that God would work powerfully in him, speak powerfully in him, demonstrate powerfully in him, proclaim. Let's just pray covering and protection for tonight, 8 p.m., and for Saturday, we have three services, and Sunday, too, as well. So let's just cover this this weekend. Let's just pray covering over our ministries. Pray for our Sunday services, our Sunday school, our youth group on Saturday. Let's pray for our IP team. They just came back from a retreat. Let's just pray that they're recharged and really properly function for what God has called them to really intercede on behalf of the church, the leaders, the members. Let's pray for our missions board, advisory board, house church leaders as they had a little break as they get started again next week. So let's just cover our welcoming, media, praise team, whatnot. Let's just cover all our ministries, all our ministry leaders, and I just pray covering over them. Let's pray. And lastly, let's pray for our building search. Just pray for favor, direction, for leadership, for humility, so that those in position to lead can really be sensitive to the direction of the Spirit. So let's just pray for our building search, provision and resources. Let's pray covering. Father, we thank you for today, and Lord, we just thank you for tonight and just the expectation and anticipation that we have. And Lord, truly, what a privilege we have, Lord, to be able to come to so many events, God, to be able to hear so many great speakers, to be able to encounter and experience you. And Father, that's our prayer today and tonight, God, that we don't come to see any man or woman or any demonstration or message. Jesus, we come to see you. God, we come to encounter you. Father, we come to hear from you and to see your face, Lord God, and to be touched in our hearts and our lives by you. God, let this always be the desire of our hearts. And God, so let us walk out from this place prayerfully in heart, mind, spirit, Lord God, as we just lift up and keep in mind, God, the amazing things that we're going to see in you tonight and the things that you are willing to and wanting to reveal in us throughout the day. As we go about, Father, we thank you, God. Go before us, Lord. We bless your name. We love you, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.